Brother John mentioned this being the first day of April. It is. You see what happened. I told Brother Greer before we left, I said, you knew when to leave the first day of April. But it's good to be here this morning. I am very pleased and happy that Brother Greer asked me to speak to you. And I hope that when we leave this place that we can all say it's been good that we've been here. It's not as easy as you might think. Very difficult. Not difficult in proclaiming God's word. That's not what I'm talking about. It pleases me to be able to discuss with you some things that would help us as we journey here upon God's footstool. We hope that you will take advantage of everything that will be said this morning. And if this is a tryout, I accept the job. I have nobody in particular in mind when I'm talking to you this morning, just some things that would help each one of us. I have myself in mind. And I'm preaching and talking to myself when I'm doing this, and I hope that you will do the same. There will be nothing new that you have not heard before. I know of nothing that's new in the Bible. I don't know of anything that I could bring to your attention that you have not heard. If I tried to, it would be too deep for me, and I wouldn't understand it myself. But I'm grateful that you're here. And to you who are visiting with us, we're especially grateful for you being here. This October the 6th, this congregation will be 44 years old. As the saying is, a lot of water has run under the bridge since that time. I think each one of us who are here, very few of us are here that was at that time, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about every member of this body. We need to look at where we were, where we are now, and where are we going. We need to think about that seriously in our studies. We don't want to do as some of the denominations are doing, trying to build this church up. I hope that, or I don't know whether any of you saw the paper this week of one denomination that's trying to build their membership up by running ads on the TV, about $26 million worth nationally, and it'll be run, ads will be run during the 20 days before Easter. And that's only in 3 states that this is happening. That's not what we want to do to build this church up. We just want to preach the gospel. And occasionally, if we have a chance to put an ad on TV or wherever, that's what we'll do. We want to talk to you this morning about some things that would help us as we journey here upon that footstool, looking forward to someday that we'll stand before God and give unto Him account of everything that we've done in this body. In Romans 14, verses 10 through 12, we read, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so that every one of us will give an account unto Him." I will not try to exhaust every verse of Scripture that pertaining to what I'm going to say. We'd be here for a long time. So you can set your clocks for about an hour and a half, and we'll be out. There are many other Scriptures that I could talk about. But this, what I will have to say, will suffice enough to make us understand that there will be a final judgment, a final accounting. And we all must stand before God and give an account for each one of us and how we have handled His word. There will be an accounting, as we read in your hearing in Romans 14. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Just as sure as God lives, that there will be an accounting. Just as sure as Christ has been raised from the dead, there will be an accounting. Why? Because he promised that. In Acts 17:31, listen to what the apostle said. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Notice that all must meet the risen Savior and give an account unto him for the way in which we have handled the word, how we have lived upon this earth. I'm talking to everybody in this assembly. Just as sure as death, there will be a final account. There will be a judgment, just as sure as death. In Hebrews 9:27, listen to what the writer has to say. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, after that the judgment and accounting. Christ died one time for the sins of the world. We'll stand before him. We die one time. We'll stand before him one time and give an account unto him for everything that we have done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. But in our study, we need to think about the things that we'll have to say very seriously. Think about ourselves as we study them seriously, about where we stand. How will we stand before God when we have to give an account of the things that I have done? What can I say to him? What will I say to him? I know some men had to do some thinking. Even one I know, he even trembled because of some of the things that the apostles were telling him. What he had to do. He was terrified. He was afraid. He knew that he would stand before God in judgment someday, but he was afraid to give an answer of the things that he had done. He knew he wasn't ready. And from the records, we don't find where he ever got ready. But he said this in Acts 24:25. The man was Felix. He listened to what he had to say. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. If I did not think that I had a home in heaven and I had to stand before God in judgment and give an account of the things that I'd done, I would tremble also. I live every day of my life as if it were my last day, because I might have to stand before him and give an account that day. Felix said, you go your way. I'll call for you sometime, maybe. But he never did, that we know of. Listen to the charge that Paul told the young preacher Timothy. This should impress upon our minds some things that the young man had to say. Listen to what he said, what the Apostle Paul told him in 2 Timothy 4:1-2. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. You tell the people that you're preaching to what they have to expect when they stand before God and give an account of the things that they're doing. You impress upon their minds that it's very serious what you're saying to them. Cause them to think. He had a great charge and that he had to do as the apostle told him. And I believe that he carried his work out. And he told the people just exactly what they needed to do to stand before God and give an account in the last day. To whom shall we give an account? To the Son of God. In John 5:22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto his Son. The one who gave his life for me was hung suspended between heaven and earth, shed his very life blood for me. That's the one that we'll have to stand before and give an account. Because he was ordained to be the judge. In Acts 17:31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Also in Acts 10:42, listen to what the apostle Paul has to say about the commandments that they had that was given to them. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick or living and the dead. Yes, Christ was ordained. He was chosen by the Father to judge the world. And we need to think about that very seriously, of the one that we will stand before. When? Tomorrow? The next day, the next year, we don't know that. But let's live a life and be concerned about our life to the point that we will stand before him and we recognize that and live for him every day. He'll be a righteous judge. He won't judge me any different than he will you or anybody else. We'll all have to stand before him and give an account of the things that we've done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Just myself. And there's only one person that can cause me to lose my soul, and that's myself. You can't cause me to lose my soul. Revelation 2:10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life." Yes, he'll be a righteous judge. The Apostle Paul said this. He knew this. He said, listen to what he had to say. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. And not to me only, but to all them, or unto all them also that love his appearing. Can I say this morning, can I say that I have fought a good fight? When it comes time for me to leave this world, can I say, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course. Henceforth, I know that there's a crown laid up for me in heaven. I hope I can, and I intend to do that. I hope you can. Revelation 2:10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and you will receive the crown of life." Who will give an account to Jesus? Let's see just who. Paul says that everyone, as we read into your hearing in Romans 14:12, so then everybody or everyone shall give an account unto him of himself to God. No one else. You don't have to answer for me. No one has to answer for me. I don't have to answer for you. I have to answer for myself. I wished I could answer for some. I wished I could. And you probably wish that you could answer for some. But that's for sure, that I can't answer for you or anybody else. What I do and what I have to give an account for is on my own. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, the Apostle Paul has this to say, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad." It doesn't make any difference if I've been a scoundrel, so to speak. I'll still have to stand before God and give an account of that. Whether I've been the best person that I could be, I still have to stand before him and give an account of that. That doesn't assure me. If I have been lived a life as close to him as I could, that doesn't assure me that I won't have to stand before him, that he'll just usher me on in. No way. Nor will he with you either. That means all of us. Those of us are those who are the household of faith will give an account. In 1 Peter 4:17-18, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begun at us, what shall the end of them that obeyed not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? They'll have to appear before him just the same as I do or anybody else. We'll all have to do that. We'll have to give an account. He'll say, maybe depart from me, I never knew you. Yes, the elders even, not just members of the church, but the elders even have to give an account for us. Members of the body, members of the congregation that they oversee, they'll have to give an account for us. We need to make it as pleasant as we can and as good as we can so that they can give a good account for us. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief. That is unprofitable for you. We're under the oversight of the elders, and they need to see that we are fed properly. If we're not fed properly, they'll have to give an account. But will they give an account for me? Have I lived a life that's pleasing to God? And that they will be glad to give an account, a good account for me and my life when we stand before God in judgment? Or will they turn their head and look the other way when they see me and say, we can't do anything for him. He didn't do the right thing. We tried. We fed him with a proper feed. We saw that he tried to get the proper food, but he did not partake of it. And they'll have to give an account for themselves, elder will, not only for every member of this body, but they'll have to give an account for themselves. Again, in Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. You be sure that you've produced or you have made available the proper diet for every member of the church that you're overseeing. A great responsibility. You be sure that the proper diet has been furnished to them, that the proper teaching that they have received, we have overseen that every person that stands before this body preaches the gospel, preaches the truth. We have made sure of that. So they have to give an account for themselves. The wicked will also have to give an account. In Matthew 7:22-23, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name done cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then he will profess unto them, I never knew you. You depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me, I never knew you. Never was a member of the church. He said, I never knew you. I can't assure you a home, because I never knew you. He will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There are many things that we could say that would probably prick our hearts and cause us to really think about our serious life and how we are conducting ourselves as members of the body of Christ, how you are conducting yourselves who are not members of the body of Christ. And if today was the day that we stood before Him in judgment and have to give an account, what will my plea be? What will His answer be to me? These are some things that are serious to me, and I think about this often. We'll have to give an account for every deed. Our deeds, the things that we've done in this body, whether good or bad. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, whether according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad." In Matthew 25:41-46, listen to what the writer has to say. And what the answer will be when we stand before him and have to give an account. Then he will say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and ye gave me no food. I was thirsty and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger and ye did not take me in. Naked and ye did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and ye did not visit me." Then those will answer him and say, "Lord, when did we see that? When was you hungry and thirsty and a stranger, and we did not do that to you? When was that?" Then he will answer and say, "Assuredly, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto the least of these, you did it not to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, prepared for the devil and his angels, and into ever eternal life. That's where we'll spend if we're not ready to meet him and can't stand before him and give a good account of ourselves. Yes, we have seen that to whom we shall give an account. We've seen for what we will give an account, who will give an account. One thing for sure, if we have not obeyed the gospel, we'll have to give an account for that. I'm talking now concerning those who are not members of his body. We need to think about that seriously. It might be that my mate is a member, or I'm not a member, or my child is a member, and we're not members. We need to think about that seriously. And there are things and steps that we need to take to prepare ourselves for that. Very simple, easy to understand. You know, in preparing something for a certain time or expecting to receive something in a certain time, all of us have no doubt purchased something and bought it on time. Payments had to be made weekly, monthly, or yearly, whatever that might be. And then there was a time that we had to stand before the person that had owned the dockery, the documentary that we would receive to buy that back. We'd have to stand before them, and maybe, no doubt, we would stand there and he'd say, "You missed month January. You missed this. We can't expect to receive that." Whatever it was, a home, a car, whatever it was. We can't expect to receive that, can we, if we haven't made the proper payments? That's the way it is in our life. If we haven't made the proper payments on our lives, we can't expect to receive that home that he's going to prepare for us. You have sat here this morning and been good listeners. In my feeble way, I hope that I have brought some things under your hearing that has caused you to think about the condition that we're in. You have heard the word. I believe that you have heard the word this morning. You need to hear that in Romans 10:17, John 6:44-45. You need to believe it with all your heart. Hebrews 11:6, Mark 16:16, John 8:24. We need to repent of our sins, Luke 13 and 3, Acts 3, 38 and 17 and 30. We need to do that. Have you done that this morning? Have you done that in your journey here upon God's footstool, working and laboring for Him every day? Or have you not rendered obedience to the gospel? You need to confess. Matthew 10, 32, 33, Romans 6, or Mark 16 and 16. Then we need to be baptized for the remission of our sins. Arise to walk in a newness of life, being a new person on our way to that home and ready to give an account of the things that we've done in this body. We need to do that. You know, they say that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Am I prepared this morning to meet Him? Are you prepared to meet Him? Or have you once started in this life on your journey, on your way to that heavenly home, ready to give an account of the things that you have done in this body? Ready to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the Lord, enter into the joys. All the things that await you, all the things that I have gone to prepare for you, you will receive them." I hope you have, and if you haven't, I hope that you will this morning. And if you have once started on that journey, but something caused you to turn around and go the other way. You know, sometimes we'll say, "Turn around and go back yet." If we turn around, we're just heading back in the same direction. We're turning around, heading a new direction. And say, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I'm ready for that home that you've got, that you prepared for." Are you in the audience this morning and need to render obedience by being baptized or coming back to Him and confessing that you have to live an unfaithful life? Whatever your condition is, while we stand and say,